Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I want to die.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and today we are joined by Brett LaBelle for our episode 8 predictions of power rankings. Brett is so excited to be here. He planned this before he knew what Wednesday night's episode was going to entail. And as soon as he came on here, he said, "Can you guys please have had me a different week? Why is it me this week?" No. Brett, why is it you this week?
No, Phil, you had me a different week and you canceled me. Okay. And you brought on some, who did you bring on instead of me?
I forget. When was it?
That wasn't Lauren's week. It was the week before Lauren. Who was before Lauren?
So that's what I've become. I've become the guy you cancel until you need to bring on political crap. And now you're going to call me? You're
going to
call
me? We're just here for your political opinions, Brett.
What is this nonsense anyway? What is this thing called? So we sit here and we rank people. We try to figure out, I mean, do we call into play idols that might be put out in front of these people, dropped in front of them like they were for David Wright when I was on the season? Is that what we're going to do? We take into account any of that stuff?
Well, you know, we could take into account a hanging disadvantage that just completely removes your vote.
Yes, thank you. That was completely ridiculous.
Brett, it seems like you're gonna have a good time tonight. That's what this seems like. It seems like we're in for a positive Brett.
I'm always coming in hot on these things, and I'll tell you something right now. I want to do a disclaimer first off, because I'm getting in a lot of trouble, Phil and Alexa, and I don't want to say Alexa too loud because my TV, my
stupid, gonna get triggered.
I hate her. I hate her. Not you, Alexa.
Thank you.
She hates her.
But no, I need to do a disclaimer because I've been getting a lot of crap lately for things I'm saying about Rob and Sandra. And I love Rob and Sandra. And I think that they're wonderful people. And I think that they, if there's anyone that's going to be on the Island of Idols, you pick one of the most cunning survivors that we've ever seen, Rob Sesame.
Also applicable.
Yeah.
Great player. Boston,
Rob. And Sandra. Sandra's won twice. I mean, there is no one, you know, up till now, there's nobody that's won twice that we know of. So my point is, so these two are like, they have to be out there. I completely get it. I'm not criticizing the fact that they picked Boston Rob and Sandra. I'm criticizing that it's a ridiculous idea. Mm. And I'm also saying, and of course, now I'm all over the map with these new players. Who probably hate me, and I don't blame them, but they are playing a great, they're playing. They're actually out there playing, and it's fun to watch. And yes, I'm criticizing some of the moves like Kelly did last week, which you're going to get involved with. And I said that she maybe made the dumbest move on Survivor, and I'm sure she thinks I'm the biggest jerk, but I was rooting for Kelly. I loved Kelly. I was really rooting for her. I thought she was doing a great job, and she made a stupid mistake, but we'll get into that later. But so I want to just say this, these guys are playing great. They're being robbed of their time on the island by the nonsense Island of the Idols. Again, love Boston Rob and Sandra. Don't want to take anything away from them. But if they're going to play, they should play. They shouldn't have this. It's completely stupid. I can't stand it. But however, I think that we have some great characters that are really playing the game out there. And I wish we could see more of them.
Yeah. And then last week, though, I mean, now you're coming in hot saying, I'm so scared about what's about to happen here. And then you're like, I hate Rob and Sandra last week. Yeah. Coming off of that, that's not that bad. I mean,
Rob and Sandra with the shining.
Wait a minute. Did I say I hated Rob and Sandra? I don't hate Rob and
Sandra. That's a soundbite.
I did not say that. I said I don't like the island. I understand why they picked those two. And if you're going to pick two idols to go there, it has to be them. It has.
So out of the lessons, I think, what have we had? Five or six, for those listening on iTunes, quote unquote lessons. Which ones are you liking? Which ones are ridiculous?
I mean, I think they're all kind of ridiculous. Even like this last week with the.
That was the worst, but that was not a lesson. That was.
Oh, so sometimes, you know, jumping at something, it's like, come on. If Rob or Sandra were out there and that thing was hanging in front of them, they grab it faster than a Cheshire cat. You know what I'm saying?
And I mean, the letter even said, like, take me. Like, open me. It was crazy.
If that little tassel was hanging and it was tied to a big anvil, like in Roadrunner, Adam Klein would have been clobbered in the head. Like, any survivor that's out there going tisk, 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 including Rob and Sandra on the island, is completely ridiculous. It's against everything that we've ever been brought up on this show, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, I completely agree. That was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. And even when Jamal opened it and his, like, eye roll, if I'm Jamal, I would lose my mind. I would just start yelling and be like, he probably did do this. He probably had that moment of, so what are you trying to tell me? But I wish that they would have aired that, because I would have immediately upon opening, I would have been like, so I'm no longer supposed to play Survivor. Like, now I'm just supposed to hope that the things I pick up are good things and not bad things. And I get there's been the fake idols, and maybe that's what they're trying to play up, is sometimes when you pick up a fake idol like Jay did in your season, it doesn't always mean it's a good thing. But still, picking up an idol and having it be fake does not mean you lose your vote. It just means you get confident. We saw Lauren and Julie do it last season. it's just something that happens now, but it doesn't completely destroy your game. This was so stupid. I hated this so much.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I'm okay with a fake idol. That's fun. Yeah. Like, in my season, David Wright made a fake idol, and Jay played it and made for a great scene of him. Mm-hmm. One of the best exits on Survivor history. Jay's such a great guy, handled it great, laughed it off. But at least it's like, at least a fake idol is creative. Yeah, you know, people are putting it together. It's done by the survivors.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
This is a fake idol done by the stupid production, who has been completely too in control of the season, if you ask me. And a lot of them are my friends, and they probably hate me. And I don't care. I don't care who hates me anymore, Phil and Alexa. I don't care. Shut up, Alexa.
Then say whatever, whatever the hell you want. Now you're here.
Yeah. But no, my point is like, this is completely, the whole season is like all the little toys. The people are playing exactly what we all tune in for. They're playing hard. We have really good players. We have goats. We have everything that we want in Survivor. And now they're throwing in this nonsense, you know? And, you know, Jamal gets on a boat with a note that says, oh, haha, you lost your vote. It's completely ridiculous. I don't want to see it. It's a waste of our time. Cut that, throw it on the floor. Let's go back to the camp and see what's going on there. You know, the reason people love Australian Survivor so much is this 3 days a week, right? Do they do? They air 3 days a week. You get so much camp life. You get to see so much what's going on, you know? And that's what we want. We don't want you cutting it all. We want to see what actually happened on the island. And that's why I think Australian Survivor is doing a much better job right now with better seasons than American Survivor. And I don't want, again, I'm not saying this is a bad season. I'm saying the gimmicks in it are bad. The people are playing, they're doing their job, and those players are doing a great job.
No, it's absolutely true. And that's, it just feels like by having Rob and Sandra building the shelter and doing all that stuff, and they're just sitting around, like, am I supposed to really believe, and I've said this the entire time, am I really supposed to believe that Rob and Sandra are sitting out there 24 hours a day for 39 days, just literally building a shelter, the two of them doing nothing else? I just don't buy it. And then
eating watermelon.
And we all know that Island of the Idols is a thing. We know that Island of the Idols is the name of the show. We know that Island of the Idols is a place people go. And now Jamal gets this opportunity to go to Island of the Idols. Why would you not go to Island of the Idols? Like, why would that should never be a bad thing? That should never, like, and Karishma even said she wished she would have grabbed that note. She was so mad that Jamal got it before her, and now he was going to get to live it out. It's so stupid. I mean, it didn't actually end up impacting the vote, luckily, because Jamal was going to go home anyway, because no matter where he would have voted, he would have gotten the majority of votes. And I don't think he would have voted for Karishma. I think he would have probably ended up voting for Janet. But yeah, it was stupid. And I hope we never see anything like that again. So I don't think we will. I'm also very bothered. I'm just realizing as Brett leans back, you're both wearing the same retro New England Patriots.
Patriots, the best. He's the best.
I didn't notice that. I was going to bring that up later. I'm very excited to be wearing my retro Patriots shirt. I have a very huge bet going today.
Let's hear it.
My friend Greg down in, well, he lives in North Carolina now, but he bet me that the Eagles.
I don't even need to hear the other half of that.
Beat the Patriots. Say we bet a case of beer. So I'm gonna get some Philadelphia style.
What kind of beer?
Yeah. He's gonna say I'm gonna. And if God forbid the beloved Patriots lose, then I would have to send a case of Harpoon down that way. But
okay, you're gonna get Yanglings. Harpoon's is that what you're about stuff. To get?
I don't know. No, I'm gonna get the Golden Monkey.
Oh, there you go.
I love Golden Monkey.
Yes, a lot thank better. You.
Strong, too. Yeah, get a lot of bang for your buck on those.
Like, I'll save you one, Alexa. I'll save you a Golden Monkey because I'm winning this bet.
We need to win this bet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Phil. Were you saying something?
No. I'm
drinking my Dunkies right now, too.
I love it.
Yeah.
We're sponsored by Dunkies now, so it's great. It doesn't get any more Boston than what I'm stuck sitting with right now. I hate it.
Like, who are we talking to, Brett? Let's throw the hat on.
I'm about to puke. Just give me a couple minutes. Go get my waste basket. Well, Brett, we're going to have to get into this week, and we're going to have to rank some players.
But I actually need to comment on something you just said. So Rob and Sandra are actually living out there. And the reason I know this is I do a radio show in upstate New York every Thursday after the thing. And I actually I said that they weren't living up there. And it was tweeted out. Sandra listened to the radio 15 minute spot. She listened to it and she went crazy, called me, texted me, you know, put it out on Twitter that they are living out there. So they absolutely 100%. I trust me. I had a half hour conversation with her. They are living out there. Okay. And Boston Rob is an amazing builder and he's building that monstrosity that's out there.
So does Sandra actually snore? Is that fake news?
I didn't ask that. I didn't want to get insulting. I just that's what I'm saying.
You're being screamed at by the queen. You don't really want to take your
exactly
last thing you need.
Listen, I've met Sandra many times. She is the queen. I love her dearly. She's a wonderful person, and I felt so bad that she actually listened to me say that. So let's just not go there. But they are living out there. They're loving it. And I feel, you know, my reasoning for not believing that they're living out there is the fact that we all know they might possibly be on the next season. Mm-hmm. And I think that would take a lot out of you. Wouldn't that affect your gameplay in the next season?
It's getting them into playing shape, man. They're getting ready. You know, they're eating only fruits and veggies. They have to fish for their own food, which are Sandra or Rob very good fishers? I don't believe so, but
TBD.
But they're living out there. They're building this shelter, and then Sandra and Rob are going to get to live in that shelter while everybody else goes and lives in the slums. You know?
Yeah, I believe that they're there. I totally believe that they're living there. It doesn't look like they're very dirty or they're losing weight. And I get that they're not doing challenges. Yeah,
maybe,
but I'm not really seeing the weight loss.
Yeah, maybe
showering. I don't know.
Rob built them a shower with his with his bare hands. He got the waters and the piping, and it's fantastic. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so I regret saying that, and I'm surprised, Brett, if you've talked to Sandra, you were so openly saying you hate Sandra.
No, I never said that.
I think you said it. I don't know. I heard a loud and clear.
And I will be in L.A., so careful what you say.
I know. Brett's going to hunt me down and beat me up.
I didn't think I was coming, but it looks like
for finale week?
Yes.
Nice. Ooh,
this is exciting. It's the best time when Brett's there. I love it.
Oh, so yeah. So just to plug the radio show, I do the Man Child Show with Boy Green, and they're great guys, and they're huge Survivor fans. So I want to give them a shout out. Okay, let's go.
Let's do it. All right. So Brett, we are going to have our work cut out for us tonight. I will be honest. I still have not watched Kelly and Jamal's Ponderosas, but I will do that before Wednesday night's episode. So we're going to have our work cut out. I don't really know what their reactions were after they got voted out. I know how Jax went. We're down to 11 people. It was one of the hardest episodes to watch last week. Definitely wasn't a fun one. Alexa and I had a very all-over-the-place 50-minute conversation. Appreciate all the comments, by the way. I think we set records.
Yeah, and I'm usually scared of dropping F-bombs, but I was flinging them.
Alexa got away with them last week. So now we have to sit here and we have to rank these people 1 to 11, Brett.
That's almost impossible to do. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to find an idol. I mean, it's just a very hard task that you've brought me in here on a Sunday morning when I should be at church, and now I'm here.
You should be at church, Brett.
Names, you know what I'm saying?
How come Kellen was able to do the double boot episode with us with no problem and was able to just rattle him off and didn't complain about it? And you're over here with, you don't even have the merge. You don't have the double boot. And you're acting like this is the toughest task of all time.
I have the political explosion episode, okay? So I don't even want to hear
the aftermath episode.
Give me any of those other things you just rattled off. Yeah. Listen, I'm ready to go, and I can explain every one of these. All right, Phil? So if I'll be out there on the 18th at the after party, mm-hmm. and we can talk about it there.
All right, I can't wait. 18th after party, Brett and Phil showdown. It's coming. It's coming. Winner gets a beer. Yeah, winner gets a beer. You're gonna win, I'm assuming.
I gotta be honest. There's a lot of players here I really like, and I'd like to see go to the end. So I think it's gonna be a jump ball for all three of us. But let's see what you.
Let's hear it, Brett. Who's the safest next week?
Janet's the safest next week.
Stanit. Of course she's my number one.
Love it.
I have her at number one, too. I don't even care if she's going to go home. I have her at number one.
Oh, no. I did not do this based on personal preference.
You know why? Do you know why? Look at how she stands up for herself. She backs up everything that she says. She, you know what I mean? I love that. Like, that was the only good thing about last week's episode. And I'm just saying, like, I just love how she, you know, instead of sitting there going, oh, what do I do? She takes total control. I love that.
And I think that that's why she's going to be able to kind of weasel her way out of the situation she's in. She's definitely on the wrong side of the numbers. But I think after the ugliness of last week, I think that people are going to start to open their eyes. And I think that's what makes this episode so tough for a lot of people, is that I think we don't know how Missy, Elizabeth, any of them are going to be next week. We don't know if maybe they did already make their amends out on the island, and maybe they did come to terms with, I made a mistake and I need to grow from it and I've learned from it and have made their apologies. We don't know what happens the rest of the story. So that's what makes last week's episode so difficult, is because unlike when the Zeke Varner thing happened and it was just the end of it and Varner was gone and then that was done and that storyline was over, and then we just had to, how was Zeke going to deal with it and all that. Everybody else is still in the game. Everybody who...
This is nowhere near over.
Yeah, Aaron with the line of all lines, which is the worst line ever. Like, Aaron still is in the game, and we don't know if they've all come to terms with it, because all we've seen is the Twitter apologies and all that, which I talked about. And for anybody who's saying the apologies are fake or whatever, I told everybody on the last podcast, social media apologies are always bullshit, but they're something that everybody has to do. So I don't fault them if they come across as fake, because no matter what, a social media apology is going to seem fake. It's social media. It's like, it's just like what you have to do to like silence the presses.
Poor Aaron is just like sitting there crying on the internet. Like, what more do you want from the guy?
Yeah.
Like come on.
This is why I have a problem with this. I mean, you bring up the Zeke and the Varner incident. To me, the Zeke and the Varner incident was more organic. It happened. Okay. It was brought up in tribal. It happened. It shocked everyone. It went viral. It was a conversation that needed to be had. Mm-hmm. This to me feels pushed. It feels like it was scripted. It doesn't feel like it was real. And that's my personal opinion. And everyone can hate me and you can do whatever. I feel the Varner and Zeke are totally different from this. It's totally different. And that's why it's having a different effect on everyone else.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people are very angry. Like, if this has been going on since day one, why was it never brought up? Why didn't production step in and say, you can't use this as gameplay? Like, we need to know, is what Dan is doing affecting all of you? Because you cannot be running circles around Kelly's brain. Like, there needed to be, like, more production step in, but then it also feels like production stepped in to, like, make it turn in a direction. I mean, I don't know. It's very hard to talk about.
In her bio, she doesn't like to be touched.
Yeah.
She said it right in her bio. Yeah. She said it in the first. I think she cried in the first or second episode. Like,
yeah. She told Dan in the first episode, "Don't."
Yeah,
touch me.
Yeah. She put it right out there. Mm-hmm. So why wasn't it addressed then? Yeah. Why is it now? We have a production guy who I know asking questions. You know what I mean? I don't know. This is very bizarre. It's very bizarre, but if you really look at the logistics of it, this is the first season to be aired since Les Moonves was asked to step down in a Me Too movement situation. This is the first taping of a season of Survivor since Les Moonves had to step down because of a Me Too incident. Mm-hmm. Whether you like Me Too or you're for Me Too or you're against Me Too, I don't care. You cannot step back from the fact that in September 2018, Les Moonves walks away, CBS is embarrassed, and now we're getting a lesson on a similar incident. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You cannot ignore that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, and I didn't even think about that because it did happen. It's so weird because it did happen over a year ago with Les Moonves stepping down.
Yeah, but so, this is the first.
No, I know. So I didn't even put those two things together because, I mean, there's –
I don't need any more lessons. Yeah. We've had way too many lessons on this season. Just, I come to Survivor to escape my life, to escape the nonsense. I want to watch gameplay. I want to root for the people that I like. I want to see people backstabbing each other. I want to see people going crazy. I want to be shocked that somebody gets voted out that I liked or something like that. I don't want to be told how to believe, how to think, what should be happening or what shouldn't be happening. I don't. I don't want to. I think that a lot of people watching don't want to either. I think this was a major mistake by Survivor and CBS, and I think it's going to hurt them in the ratings.
Yeah, it's tough because if this did happen naturally, they obviously have to show it the way that
absolutely.
It went.
Absolutely.
If it happened naturally.
Listen, why
did Dan not get pulled?
Listen, and Zeke's my friend. He went through, that was hell on that whole cast. Mm-hmm. They still talk about it. but it just kind of happened. It fell. It was definitely, it felt more organic than this to me. And if I'm wrong, explain it to me then, because to me, that made sense to me that went viral and it was a conversation that needed to be had. This seems like it doesn't seem natural to me. That's all.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, Alexa?
So when you say it doesn't seem natural, what do you mean by that? I think that's where I'm a little confused.
I feel like no matter who was cast, we were going to have this conversation in this season.
Even though there's video, like we saw what I'm talking about. I'm really only talking about Kelly.
Yeah, we're seeing an hour of video over 3 days.
Mm-hmm. No, but Kelly's explaining, I am uncomfortable. Cut the camera.
I'm not saying Kelly didn't feel those things. I'm not saying Kelly didn't. But you put a touchy-feely dude, right, with a woman
I don't think he should have been there. I mean, I think Dan should have been there. Yeah, I think he...
A touchy-feely guy on the same tribe with a woman who says she doesn't like to be touched. She doesn't want... I actually said early on, I go, well, if you don't like to be touched, and I mean like because you're together for warmth. You're together for... I mean, I never want to touch. Because I was freezing and it was pouring out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not taking away from Kelly's feelings. I'm almost 100% sure that she actually felt that way. She stated it many times. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you put a touchy-feely dude who I'm sure claimed that he was, because he says it now. He says he likes to get back rubs and do all this shit. Now, I've been saying since day one that this is, you know, the guy works in L.A., mm-hmm. He's in the business. Why is he touching anyone?
I know.
I've been saying that since day one. But now, when I see Kelly, you know, from day one saying this just one, I say, okay, this is all real. This is all real. First hour of that episode, I said, this is all real. This is happening. This is this is bad. It wasn't till all of a sudden nobody wants to vote him. Nobody wants to own it. That
was weird. Yeah.
What is going on? Something is not right here. Because she had the votes for him. It's an easy vote. Dan's an easy vote here. Completely easy vote. There's no reason to keep him. He's not even getting that good of an edit besides touch of people. Why is he still here when they could have taken him out? If he's really that big. Listen, I've been creeped out by people many times. If I have a chance to vote them, I'm going to vote them. I think, to me, it's the second half of that episode, the second hour, that concerns me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So, yeah. And that's where I think when Phil and I were texting throughout the episode, it's such a shift of conversation between hour one and hour two for me. So I don't think I'm ever going to get to the point where I'm going to rewatch this episode. I probably should, but I don't want to.
I erased it already. I erased it right after I watched. Yeah.
To me, if everyone had varying degrees of either of discomfort with it, I think that's true. But at least to me, it didn't need to affect five people. If it affected one person, then I'm not happy with it. And it affected Kelly. And it, to an extent, either did or did not affect other people. And then on top of that,
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. If it affects Kelly, it's a problem. And it should have been addressed on day one.
It should. And it did by Kelly. But again, that's not Kelly's responsibility at all. And then again, the one sentence that I didn't really bring up in a recap, but like woke up in the middle of the night thinking about it. I forget who said it, but someone said when Janet's around, his behavior changes.
Yeah.
Then this is a fucking problem.
Yeah, exactly.
If mom's around and he's not being a fucking creep anymore, he is aware of his behavior on some sort of either conscious or subconscious level. That says everything I need to know.
But we have Missy, Elizabeth, and Kelly all feeling like he's creepy, or so they say. Here is a shot to go, and Kelly's like, nah, I want to go for Missy. Like, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Creepy, and production's not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I've been creeped out by people. I'm not going to sleep next to them another night if I have the chance to get rid of them. I'm not. Period.
And it's weird because if you go all the way back to, like, Survivor Thailand, as bad as this sounds, but like when the whole Gandia and Ted thing happened, everybody unanimously just voted out Gandia, which probably isn't how it should have went. It should have been Ted who was voted out, but everybody unanimously just voted out Gandia. And that's why I thought this was kind of I think the reason the second hour is so different and so tough to talk about is because Kelly is no longer there to really guide us through it.
Right.
And because in the first hour, we know, and I mean, Kelly has been very vocal since leaving. She's been, you know, on social media being like, look, it happened. You can see it. It's there. I did not want this. I did not approve this. This is all bad. And so because she's been like that, the first hour we saw her breaking down and we saw her kind of trying to unite the women, saying she's going to vote Missy and then voting Dan anyway, because this is what we need to do. This is what needs to be done. The second hour when Kelly is gone, we no longer have like a rock, and Janet becomes our rock, but Janet was so played in that situation. We don't have somebody to really tell us, you know, this is what is happening right now, because Elizabeth and Missy are like this. It's just, it's wobbling all over the place.
I need to I think we all need to talk to Kelly. And I think Kelly has the answer to this, because why does Kelly have Dan? She's got him dead to rights. She's got him in her sights, but she goes Missy.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
but she didn't have him dead to rights because he got how many votes and he didn't go home.
Well, I'm just saying, because everyone
voted for Dan.
She finally did.
They all voted for
Dan. They all voted for Dan. It was 8-5. She talked about voting Missy and then voted out Dan.
Okay, all right.
I forget whose idea was to switch it. So they voted for him, but more people
chose.
Wasn't it
Jamal's idea?
So that means
the Jamal, Nora, that squad.
But then Elizabeth and Missy are saying, no, I'm not so sure that, you know, they wouldn't admit to the fact that they thought he was creepy. This whole thing, and again, we have to talk to Kelly, because Kelly probably, I mean, Kelly's feelings we know since day one, completely. And we just have to find out, something to me doesn't pass the stink test here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it just falls between, and this isn't like an opinion of whether or not it's right or wrong, I think it just falls between where people were prioritizing gameplay over how they felt, over how they thought others felt. And those three things just meant very different things to every single group.
Right.
But as a viewer, we had to watch that happen in the worst way.
Yeah, I agree. But you here's know? The other thing. Again, I'm going to go back to my main point. Les Moonves was told to step down September 18th. And now we're having this conversation in the first season that's aired after.
Yeah.
Seems a little convenient to me. And I don't believe in conveniences.
Alexa, you don't like that Brett and I have Janet number one, clearly.
Yeah. I forgot that. I forgot how we got here.
That, I don't remember how we got there. But it started with me and Brett both saying we had Janet at number one.
I do not have Janet number one. She's number one in my heart. By and away, but I'm a little nervous about her, but I think you guys, this was brought up, I guess, 20 minutes ago. I think you guys are right in that this group is splintered, and I'm going to try to like not talk about this, which I know isn't possible, but I think this group they're not going to stay tight. I don't think it's just going to be a Nora, Karishma, Janet, 1-2-3 vote out. It's not going to be that easy, because this is a group that, they voted out Chelsea. Like they'll vote out their allies. They were tossing Elaine under the bus when they switched to Vokai. So that's how they're playing. So it's not going to remain consistent. So I don't think that Janet is dead in the water, because I think they're playing so hard and so fast that it's not going to be a simple, here's our squad, we're going to ride it to Final Five or whatever.
Well, I think there's definitely going to be some, this is going to drive, something's going to happen amongst everyone here.
That's another thing. This isn't done. Dan is still here.
Right.
This is not, we are not done with this.
Yeah, but I don't think, I'm not so sure that anyone else is bothered by Dan. I don't think Elizabeth, I don't think Missy are scared. I don't think that Dan bothers them as much as Kelly, from what I can tell.
Yeah, that's what I think most people had the problem with last week, is that we came out of it not really knowing. Like, we came out of it going, well, we know
Kelly, and then they have the other two saying, oh, Dan, it's like, what?
Yeah, what happened? Yeah.
It's a lesson Survivor's trying to teach us. We understand Durag Gate. We got that one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now we have this. What lesson are we trying to learn here? Because Dan's still here, and everyone's loving him. I mean, what is going on? Like, what is this?
I agree. Alexa, you didn't answer who your number one was.
My number one for the second week in a row is Elaine Stott. She is very safe, I believe, which is what everybody was afraid of in the premiere. And here she is. She, and I'm very excited to talk about her because I feel like she was one of the least involved in last week. For, again, there's just least screen time in what we've seen. I think Elaine's fine. I think they like her. I think they trust her. I think if anyone wants to go for the head of the snake of that group, they're going for Missy and Aaron. Mm-hmm. They're not. And if they want to hit the sidekick, they're going to hit Elizabeth. I think Elaine is so, so safe this week.
That's funny because I think Aaron and Missy are next coming up very soon. So Yeah, I agree.
I pretty much ranked this based on I kind of thought of the end of Shawshank where it's like you crawl through 2 miles of shit and you come out smelling clean on the other side. Yeah. That's pretty much how I rank this. Is I went from who smells the best coming out of this episode.
Elaine smells heavenly.
I think, and listen, Missy has been. She's been outspoken. She's showing everyone how hard she's playing. So someone is noticing it. And Aaron, the same thing. Like, he could stay quiet and kind of in the background, but now the group's just getting too small. And you notice everyone now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think those two are in trouble.
I agree.
That, I guess.
Who's your number two, Brett?
Who's my number two? How's this go again now? My number two to stay?
Yeah,
so it goes from safest to person you think is going home this week.
So your 10 and 11 are going home this week.
I'll tell you who's my safest. Nora.
Yes.
Nora, I love it.
Anywhere.
Nora's my number two.
Yes, all right, Alexa.
Yes, let's go. Thank God.
Nora's not going anywhere. First of all, because she's hysterical. Second of all, because if you go to the end with Nora, enough said.
Yeah. I completely agree. I have her at number three, and this is the highest I've had Nora in my rankings all year. I can't believe it because there's just no reason to get rid of her. And again, who comes out smelling good after last week? Nora smells really good right now. Like, yeah, Nora's like the scented candle you're going to buy and light.
Nora smells like potpourri. She smells beautiful.
She had the best line of the night, too. When she says, "Well, Jamal didn't even say goodbye."
Oh my God.
I just voted him out. I mean, this woman has no idea what she's doing out there. It's great.
I love her. Absolutely love her.
Well, and
she of all people, she was the one in, or that, not she of all people, that came out wrong, but she was the one confessional where she was like, "Dan's creeping me out, so I'm going to vote for him." Mm-hmm. It was just.
Yeah.
Point blank.
She throws everyone under the bus and tells everyone how, like, Kelly's, I don't know, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, the Kelly thing at the beginning of the episode, something we really didn't even talk about last week.
Unreal.
It was so funny.
Kelly just stands there with a blank look on her face.
But, like, again, you know, and I'll get into, Kelly made major mistakes, but you got to be careful trusting
Nora.
Yeah, anybody like that. Come on, you have to know. You gotta handle them with kick gloves. If you're gonna work them, you have to work them with kick gloves because they're gonna spout out at any moment and say whatever she says, whatever the hell she says, whenever she says it. It's crazy. Yeah. It's fun.
She really does.
I love her so much.
I love it too. Like, just going back to the Jamal didn't say bye. We have a top five emotionally charged tribal council in the history of Survivor. Jamal, who is a big focal point of that tribal council, gives these like big eloquent speeches and then gets voted out, and she expects him to be like, "Bye everybody, hope you have a great time."
Like, yeah, right. exactly. Like, he's gonna turn and be like, "Bye everybody." I mean, it's just completely insane that has she wanted a goodbye from anybody else? It's just like, it's bizarre.
I love her.
She's unbelievable.
And she successfully voted out the king, the queen, and the jack, right? She voted out all of them.
Wow, our queen.
She's
really cool. Wow, she is. I love her.
I'll be excited to meet her someday.
God, if I'm lucky.
On December 18th.
I'm saying, if you guys meet her, FaceTime me in.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Brett? Rob said
you probably always had lined up on.
Oh, yeah, she's got to be.
She's
one
number
of
one. Yeah, she's number one.
Way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. Huge Nora fan.
Never mind.
I don't want to go back into the ugly stuff. So let's keep going.
Okay, we're so positive now.
People are gonna hate me now. So like, because we got into the ugly stuff, you know, it's like, oh,
it's hard to ignore.
We have to talk about it, and I have an opinion. Yeah. You have an opinion, but I'm not entitled to my opinion. But everyone else is, apparently.
It's the way it works. That's why we gave you a platform today.
That's right.
That's it. We wanted to put you out here so that everybody could just trash you.
Right.
We want them to see the real you. We're tired of this fake Brett shit, happy-go-lucky guy.
I show myself pretty often, especially on Rob Cesternino, when I have to yell at him.
Yeah.
I keep plugging poor Rob's thing.
Just a yell. It's a yell.
No, it's fine. It's fine because if you keep saying Rob, all his like patrons are going to just come over because they're going to like their Rob sense is going to go off.
Their Spidey sense.
That's it. And they're going to be like, we've heard his name. We must get over to this link. Like, they're going to be able to type in the link.
But then it's mutually beneficial because then we get extra views and then he gets extra views and it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. I love it.
All right. My number three could not be simpler. It is Aaron because he is not losing individual immunity. That guy is unreal and doesn't have a ton of competition.
I agree with you, but so who's the – yeah, it'll be hard to do a run, but if there's somebody that can do it out there, it's definitely going to be him. Try and throw out a challenge in there, probably. Kerhoffer and the boys, they're going to throw something out there that's going to be very hard for him and easier for somebody else, but – he seems to be well-rounded and everything, so we'll see. You know,
I mean, Missy and Elizabeth, understandably, have been very, very good so far. Karishma has been great, something that was not talked about. Really lasted long in both of those challenges. Dean has not performed wonderfully. Dan sucks, and yeah, I don't know. I think Aaron can just – he won those two so – like, just –
and anything that's going to be standing and you just need your muscles, he's a personal trainer who has all of those muscles.
Quads of steel.
He's got the shoulders. He's got the arms. Like, anything that is just hold something. I mean, what's going to trip him up, I feel like, at some point is it's going to be balanced to three balls on the disc and one's going to roll off and then he's going to be screwed. You know, but I think that's what's going to have to happen. Yeah, that's what's going to have to happen.
Give me more ball challenges.
Anything that's just endurance, Alexa. Get your head out of the gutter. Anything that's just endurance.
Jeff's head is deep in said gutter.
And I can't even comment on what Alexa just said.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes. So I think Aaron, anything that's endurance based, he doesn't go home. But I haven't said my number two. And Alexa, you said Karishma has been great. And I really regret because last week after the episode, I said Janet or Tommy better win. And I left Karishma out of that. And I honestly believe that Karishma has done nothing wrong this season. And that Karishma is actually playing a really good game. But in the first half of the game, I've said this so many times, you have to show the weak challenge performer as bad because you need to, like, there's got to be something going on. And it's really hard to spin that person positively when their tribe keeps losing challenges and they keep surviving because their name is always coming up, but they're somehow getting by. Karishma is getting by because her social game is incredible. This week, Karishma came out of that smelling so good. She came out of that so well. I honestly believe with how much we got of Karishma, she's been written off by so many people as having no chance. There's a reason she is still in this game.
Did you see her run over to Jamal's dead body to shield him from the sun?
She never ran that fast in any of her tribe challenges, but she ran that fast to make sure Jamal was okay. And she's my number two. I think Karishma is doing a really great social game, and that is really the most important game to play to win Survivor. We've seen it happen so many times. The social game is what wins it.
She's my number three. And I just think that, you know, if there are people that don't like her, so they don't think she can win, there's people on this island, you know what I mean, that she's playing against that don't think that she can win. And I think that that's why her stock goes up also. But I also think you're right. I think she's playing very well. She definitely has a social game. Social game is very important. I know Survivor likes it because she gave us our second lesson of season 39, which is arranged marriage is bad. So we have Do-Rag-Gate, we have arranged marriage is bad, and now we have Me Too. So I think that she is very safe. I think she's going to go further. And I think that there was times I had like a little bit of annoyance with her because, that's leaving me every week and she's growing on me more and more. So I agree with you 100%. And I think we're going to see Karishma well into the finale episode.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think she's sitting there in the finale. I think she could be sitting there at final three. And I think people are going to be shocked when Karishma's name comes up on the parchment in the final three.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I really do think that could happen. And she could still end up going back to the early Karishma. But we saw nothing bad socially from Karishma. And you just brought up the arranged marriage thing. I know that CBS is obviously they want that story out there. That's something that they want to put out there. But it's also something that they're putting out there because it probably means Karishma is going to do pretty well on this season.
Yeah,
because they spent a lot of time with that.
I cringed at that because I felt for her as a human being. Because you say so much out there. You get very comfortable with the cameras. And I was like, ooh, that's something that you're sitting back with your family knowing that that's going to air. And I don't – that is a tough conversation that she's probably had to have after that. So my heart goes out to her, and I hope that we do see her in the weeks to come.
Yep, and I think we will. Who's your number four, Brett?
Well, my number four is Elizabeth, because I think Elizabeth's doing a very good job. She doesn't agree with a lot of things, and she keeps it stymied. And I think she's playing a pretty good social game, but I think she's also very athletic. So I really like her chances after the merge, post-merge. And so she's my number four. And I really like her. I like Elizabeth a lot.
She does a good job of, like what you said, and this is something I'm horrible at. If someone tells me something that I don't agree with, she holds it well and just accepts it. I would wear it on my face that I disagree. She does a very good job of that.
You're absolutely right. And I do the same thing. And that's
exactly. Yeah, it's natural.
That hurt me in the game. And that's why I recognize when someone can do that, how important it is. And it's pretty impressive how she could do that. And yeah, I like her a lot, you know? So sometimes I wear my hat on my sleeve as well. And I think a lot of people do. I think it's natural too, you know?
I've never seen that from you, Brett. Never seen it. Never. In the seasons of TV I've watched you on, which by the way, are you doing this podcast from Croatia or did you get back?
Yeah, where are you?
I'm still looking for the damn coins.
Right? Yeah, you're still. That's what I want the next Island of the Idols. Island of the Idols 2, Brett and Chris, but instead of building a shelter, you guys look for coins.
He's too tall to look for. It's crazy. He can't. He could. He was getting so cold out there because he's from Oklahoma. He's not like up in New England. We're used to it's freezing cold water in the summer. So that water was cold in Croatia, and I'm sitting there hunting around. I noticed that his red face is purple, and I'm like, oh my god, I think he's hypothermic, you know. And then I think we both were starting to get hypothermic, but I'll tell you, we had a blast. It was a lot of fun to be able to do that with my friend Chris. And the race is tougher than everyone thinks. I'll just say that, but it's a lot of fun.
I had to take at least one dig at you, but you guys made my time watching The Amazing Race. I hadn't watched it in years.
It was my only time watching it. I loved it.
What did you think, Alexa?
I thought it was a blast. I loved it. I was going in. I was like, what's a U-turn? Like, what's all this stuff? You two are amazing. Did you watch The Amazing Race beforehand?
Never. As you can tell, when I go, I'm in that purple Lycra suit with a
orange. That thing is, that was unreal.
I'm like, what am I doing up here? Why am I here? There's a clue right next to you, you fool. I was just out in Oklahoma at an OU game last week, and he still won't let me live it down.
It's good that they didn't have this clown meme that's been going around now, where it's like you put the clown makeup on, because you would have had that clown meme where it's like when you're on The Amazing Race and it's you sitting there, and then you're sitting there and you have the hair, and then you're sitting there with the nose, and then you're sitting there just full clown while the clue is right next to you. Would have been fantastic.
It's not a pretty sight, that purple Lycra suit.
You know? Is that what you're wearing to the finale?
I don't know what
that looks great.
Very skin.
Very whatever. Slimming.
Yes.
Rupert pulled it off, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love Rupert and Laura, too, by the way. It's really cool to meet them. So.
Yeah, I bet.
All right. Well, my number four is Tommy. And
same.
Yeah, thank you, Alexa.
Tommy came out smelling like fine leather bound books.
I love that. I love
this. Is fun. I'm liking the smell.
What can people smell like?
I hope they don't think we're creepy, but it's too late for that.
Smell the same, so I kind of have an idea.
Oh, okay.
All what? All books smell the same?
All gingers.
Ginger. Well, if anybody should know, then I will tell you. Tommy smells amazing. Tommy is probably the best smelling person of all time to ever play.
No, that's right. Thank you. See, Phil knows.
I know.
What I'm upset about is that we didn't get the thing that upsets me most about last week is that we didn't get a confession or a one-on-one between Dean meeting the tall, goofy, redhead looking guy, his nickname for him was.
I was like, when he said that, I said, I know exactly how he feels. Redhead. I know exactly how he feels.
Redheads are so good at everything, and it's so frustrating for other people because they're like, God, that person should suck at everything, and we're good at basketball. I mean, I could probably
feel like make fun of gingers all the time. What is that?
I don't know
why people choose to target gingers.
Because we're better than them at everything, and it frustrates
them. No, it's such a defense mechanism, like, and I can't get behind it.
Brett, Chris carried you through the Amazer, literally, on his back.
He has no soul. He's a soulless ginger, but I know you do have a soul, Phil.
Yeah. Do I?
30%.
Chris is a soulless ginger. And
you know.
And he thinks he carried me, but you know, that's an edit that you're seeing, much like
he thinks he carried me
in last episode. And
what we didn't see is that you were sprinting so fast, you were so far ahead of the group.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. So
you stopped. You got the Dunkin' Donuts. You were like the hare and the tortoise.
No, I actually. It's funny because the production realized how much I love Dunkin' Donuts. So we're in Vietnam, and they're like, "Hey, Brett, we saw a Dunkin's," and I go, "Where?" And they're like, down the street from the hotel. I'm like, you have to stop. I go, you guys have to go grab me a coffee, like, after this thing's done. And of course, they were busting my balls. Why would I ever think that there's a Dunkies in Ho Chi Minh?
Like, middle of nowhere. That's a good one in Ho Chi Minh. It's a mean city.
Get me in trouble. I kept calling Ho Chi Minh City Saigon. They didn't like that.
Oh, yeah, my God. Well, in L.A., they cut that out.
I feel like there would be one in Ho Chi Minh. It's a pretty major city.
They just put a Dunkin' Donuts in LA for the first time like 3 years ago. Dunkin' Donuts are not that popular.
Y'all are late to the party.
Let's goggle that up. There might be one in
All right, I'm going to – yeah, you guys talk. Goggle, I'm going to Google map. I'm going to goggle map real quick.
Dunkin' Donuts is really only a Northeast thing. And there's like 9 million Dunkin' Donuts, and 8 million of them are in like three blocks in Boston. And then the rest of them are like New Jersey, New York, all of that. We had them in New Jersey. And I thought it was crazy. Out here, there's one in Santa Monica, and they just put one down in Anaheim. And those are the only two that are out in Southern California.
So are you Giants, New Jersey, or are you Eagles, New Jersey?
I'm a Lions fan. I don't even make sense.
Well.
Yeah, I'm a masochist. I hate myself.
Alexa, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, nobody.
Guys, fret not. There are 7 Dunkin' Donuts in Ho Chi Minh City. That's a ton.
That's a lot. That's more than Los Angeles. The greater Los Angeles area.
They're all closed right now, but I don't know what time it is.
Right? There's only three in Los Angeles. And there's – so those guys weren't lying to me. I thought all this time they were lying to me. They weren't lying to me. They just screwed me over and didn't go get me one.
Yeah. You got to go talk to those guys.
Yeah. Paul Bruno, I'm coming to get you. He's an Eagles fan, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That tells you everything you need to know. Let's see if there's some in Saigon.
Oh, no. Anyway – the reason I have Tommy at number 4, I know Tommy didn't come out of this smelling perfect, but I think Tommy's
at number 5, so we're
all in the same spot.
Oh, so we're all in the same spot here. I think Tommy, he was kind of getting crap, like in the guilty by association thing, and I thought Janet had a really good tweet this week where she said like Tommy was one of the most helpful to her during this entire situation, and I think that says a lot about him that we didn't see, because despite the fact that Tommy did vote for Kelly, and Kelly goes home, and he did screw over Janet in that situation. We never saw Tommy say anything bad the rest of the episode. We didn't see him say anything good, but we didn't see him say anything bad. And this episode focused a lot on the bad, and it focused a lot on Janet and how this was going to go down and what was going to happen. So a lot of people were saying that they didn't like how Tommy came out of this episode. That was like one of the biggest differences I had with everybody else who was just watching. Yeah, I said it a lot.
Yeah, people were coming in late.
One of the things that I had between me and everybody else watching is I thought Tommy came out of this episode looking absolutely fine. And I still think he did. So I'm putting him at number 4.
He was all strategy, Tuck.
And I think a lot of the negativity towards him is probably going to die down, much like it did with Elaine, where like when Elaine is telling Dan, no, you didn't bother me at all. Elaine means that. Like Elaine never tried to use that, I don't believe, or we would have seen it. I really do believe that Elaine and Janet have very similar takes where it's, well, it didn't bother me, but like if it's bothering everybody else, I'll vote. Like, sure. Like, I don't think like it actually bothered Elaine. So I think Elaine ends up being my number 5. So that's where I stop with my, these people all smell really, really good. And then it starts to become like they're starting to get some BO.
Yeah.
Alexa, what's your take on Tommy?
I just, I'm trying to decide how to describe the people who I think smell like okay. Because Nora smells like lavender and Tommy smells like fine leather-bound books, and I forget what Elaine smells like. I think Tommy's fine. I think kind of similar to Elaine. I think we're seeing Tommy as a big threat, but nobody else is.
Yeah, I think you're right with that.
Which is interesting. But good for him. I think he's done a really good job of it.
I think he's being a chameleon. I think he's very comfortable with showing his cards, which I think is very important. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he, again, like he talks to us differently than he talks to the group. We saw that it was right at the beginning. It was him, Kelly, and someone else. And the three of them are talking. And Kelly was like, I want this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And he says, okay, okay, okay. This is similar to what we were saying about Elizabeth. And then he comes to us and he says, well, I felt like I didn't really have a say. So, which whether or not we've heard him kind of say that a couple times. So he's holding that information. Like he's holding any displeasure he has towards his allies to only tell us. And that's really good.
And I think what's tough for Tommy last week is the vote was 8-5 in that first vote. Even if Tommy flips, it's 7-6. And he was not going to be able to flip anybody because like he said, I had no say. Like Alexa, you just exactly that confessional is exactly why Tommy had to vote the way he did. If he flips, it's 7-6, nothing changes. And yet he looks like a better guy, but I don't think he looks like a bad guy now. You know, like he didn't say anything egregious. He didn't do anything egregious. He just voted the way the numbers were going and he tried to change the vote. You know, he did, but he kept saying, I feel powerless. And I think that's very telling. And I, you know, how do a lot of winners win Survivor? They don't look threatening to their competition. They look threatening to us. That's how Michelle won.
Yeah.
I know that's Adam, Brett. You always say Adam didn't even play Survivor. He was like one of the worst winners ever. You always.
I never said that. I never said that.
No, you said he hates Sandra. It's a difference.
No, I said I've said this and I shouldn't even say it again. But I said that anyone. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going there.
I've never heard this before. I would love to hear it.
This is going to get him in so much trouble. I'm so ready.
I'm not going there. There's people I like now.
We'll wait till we get offline.
Yeah, you need to get me right after I come off the island. With this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or right after the bar, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Who's your number five, Alexa?
Number five is Lauren for me. Lauren is, and I think she's safe because she is Missy's confidant. Lauren is the reason that Missy knew she was going home. Lauren told her, and it didn't come back to bite her. It never ended. And that circle sometimes comes back and hits her. I think she's very valuable to Missy. She and Tommy are clearly very close. I think Lauren's another one where she's got seeds everywhere, but no one is really seeing that. I think that puts her in a very good position.
I have her a little bit lower. Because like I said, I ranked it based on how they look after last week.
Yeah, so I really, for this one, I didn't really, I wanted to ignore anything from that. I'm trying to look at this strategically.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. But like what got lost in all of last week's episode is who are the alliances? And that's like what
TBD,
I'm,
yeah.
Right? Like my head is kind of spinning on that. I'm like, well, who actually is aligned with who? And I still think this Aaron and Tommy thing has to come to fruition a little bit. So I still think that Aaron is going to last a little bit longer, but Aaron and Tommy did not show any signs of aligning this week. So my number six is Detective Dean, which is wild because this is the highest I've put him all season. All season he should have gone home. This is like the cat who has nine lives and he's on his like 15th. I don't know why he's still here, but Dean got Jamal's little advantage last week. Everybody kind of saw through it. It puts a target on his back. He knows it put a target on his back. But it's not a bad thing to have a target on your back when there's like nine other people who are putting bigger targets on their back. And your Dean, who people have openly said is playing such a terrible season. Like everybody has said, he's just not even playing the game, at least early on. Now I think he's starting to play a little bit. He loses Kelly, which sucks. Because that was his closest ally.
He chose to lose Kelly.
He did choose to lose Kelly. You're correct.
He chose that.
Oh. He did. But now Dean is in a position where I think he's just smack in the middle. He's a free agent. I don't think that you get rid of Dean because he's not threatening. He hasn't done anything. Like, why would Janet vote out Dean? There's no reason to. And why would Missy or Aaron vote out Dean? There's just no reason to. Like, he's become – he has found out how to be an athletic, muscular man who has zero target on his back. Because he's just there's just nothing threatening about him. He's terrible at challenges.
Well, that's a target being athletic after the merge. But I will say
he's
that
he's not great in challenges.
He's my number six as well.
He's my number seven. So we're all my note is IDK.
But I think you're right. He's kind of in the middle of the pack, right? He's kind of like he's not. He's staying right where he probably should be, right? And I don't listen. Because we don't see, I have to step in here for some of the survivors and say that just because we don't see him playing doesn't mean he's not. A lot of times, I get people all the time going to me, You know, I'll be at one of these live shows or whatever, and they'll be like, Brett, can I ask you a question? Yes, go right ahead. Yes, why didn't you ever go out there and look for an idol? Why didn't you look?
Why just sit around?
Well, yeah, I wasn't interested in it. I wasn't interested in the free pass to the next vote, so I sat in the chair. I didn't
Rob would be very proud of you.
I mean, give me a break. Like, of course you're looking. You're not going to, they're not going to show you looking unless you find it, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking. So I would say, unless Dean is a total, and you guys probably know more about Dean than I do, unless he's a total, like, somebody they grabbed off the street in L.A., I would say he probably is playing. We're just not, they're just not, it's not, you know, maybe some of the stuff he's doing isn't coming to fruition or isn't important to the story. Okay, so I'm going to say that for Dean. But I do think that you're right. I think Dean's is a perfect number six. I don't think he's a threat to anyone, so I don't think that they're going to be gunning for him. I think the people that are in serious trouble the next few votes are going to be your Tommy. Well, not so much Tommy. I think Tommy's going to go well. But I think Aaron and Lauren and Missy, you know, that's who I think. People are seeing them and are scared of them because they're playing so hard, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I do think Dean is playing, and again, it comes back to the charisma thing. We saw so much bad about Dean early on, but Dean's doing something right to stay in this game because Dean's had his back against the wall for a long time. We saw Tom Laidlaw go before Dean or charisma. That says something about your social game. Right. And Chelsea and Dean, for Chelsea, didn't want it to be called a showman. So I don't think it was a showman. So I think that was annoying. But there was something close between Chelsea and Dean that targeted her. Now, and I think that
maybe he's traumatized by being close to someone, so he's just purposely not having allies.
You bring up Tom Laidlaw. Like, why is he gone? Like,
I have no idea. I still don't know.
What earth would he be a threat to anyone? That was the most ridiculous vote ever, but go on.
No, I mean, I could not agree with you more. The Tom Laidlaw boot is one of the weirdest, least sense made boots ever.
See, to me, that's the Chelsea one. The Tom one, I think it was Janet. She had and to be fair, I guess it was only like one or two confessionals, but Janet said he's so abundantly clear that he's only going to stick with his old people, and that's not going
to
work for me.
Yeah, that can be tough to work. Yeah. But I just, to me, it's like, oh my God, you think he's like, he's a loyal guy. You could grab, latch onto him and stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, that's probably what did him in. So
probably.
Yeah. Who's your number six, Alexa? You said you're number seven.
Number six is Missy, and then Detective Dean is number seven. I have Missy in the middle. I do not know if people are going to see that she's at the moment, from what we're seeing, the ringleader, or if she's just going to keep playing the way she's playing. She's playing very hard. I think she's making it clear that she's playing hard. And I don't know. I don't know if people are going to go straight for her because I think people really like her. And she's another one where with us, she is a stone cold assassin, but she and Elaine are wrestling and she and Elizabeth are all cute together and she and Lauren are BFFs. And it's impressive and fantastic that she can do that because that is another thing that I definitely cannot do.
Yeah.
Like just very much separating that. So, I think she's good. She's taking a very unemotional look at the game. And I would have said that even before last week. And I think that's why she's playing so well, because she doesn't seem emotionally tied to who she's voting out.
Yeah. And last week, I mean, we definitely saw there was.
Yeah. No, I really would have said that before last week. I understand that that's going to come out bad. So
no,
I'm sorry.
I hear you. No, I know what you mean. Well, my number seven is Lauren. Alexa, like, I think Lauren had her moments last week that definitely weren't good. I think that Lauren's been a tricky one all season long because we haven't seen – I feel like we like Lauren, like, as an audience, we kind of like Lauren. And then, like, Missy clearly likes Lauren, but I don't know anything else about Lauren's allies in this game. Mm-hmm. We saw her cry when Jason got booted, but what else does it mean? So I can't really get a read on Lauren, but I don't think Lauren's going to be the aftermath vote on this. If everybody does start to be like, we need to vote out somebody, I think Brett's been right on it. Missy, Aaron, one of them. I think it's got to be something like that, but I just don't see it being Lauren this week. I really don't. Brett,
what
who's
you think,
your side? Brett's got the head nod going, but I don't think he agrees.
I think it's Lauren this week, but.
Okay.
And I think that if we go into this episode and you see a lot of Lauren, then you she's a goner.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that my seventh, are we talking about my seventh now or what?
Yeah, you're seven.
I have Elaine. And Trust me, this is hard because I'd rather have her a little higher up, but I just couldn't fit her in with my thing. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah.
I don't think she's the probability of her going. I don't know. I mean, I just think she's got to be around this 5, 6, 7 area. That's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. I think she's one of those. And it's too bad because I really like her. I think she's entertaining. She definitely has a likability factor that she could go all the way. But I just see her going around the 5, 6, 7. So
yeah, I think she's just bound to nobody let her get to the end. And I don't think she's ever going to be a challenge threat that's going to win anything to get herself to the end. So I think she can be held around, be a fan favorite. Everybody like her. She's fun to keep around. She's entertaining. And then you get rid of her when,
yeah,
when you can.
Listen, they said it in the first episode that kid that got voted out first. Was it what the hell was it?
Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie said it first. He's like, you know, she's got a great story. And Ronnie was wrong to go after her then. You don't go after someone with a great story
in
the first episode.
Yeah, what the hell?
But it's definitely been talked about. It's been talked about, her story. She tells everyone time and time again. So it's in people. It's got to be in somebody's mind. I don't want to go to the end with this woman. And that's why I think she could be in trouble earlier on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, do you think she gets to the finale or no?
There's a possibility she could. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want her anywhere near. I think she's got a really good story.
Absolutely. I mean, and you got to get rid of her before.
Everyone likes her. So mm-hmm. if you're gonna give somebody the money at the end, if it's two people that you're like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. I think you want her gone fairly soon. Me personally.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be like the merge boot, and then everything that went down. Does Lyro have the numbers back? Original Lyro, and I know that doesn't really matter, but does original Lyro somehow have the numbers back, or are they just down 6?
Didn't they tease that a little bit for next week's?
Did they? Oh God, I still never watched that. God, am I a bad podcaster? Is that what everybody's trying to say?
No, because I probably don't know.
Yeah, it's 6-5 original Lyro.
Yeah, original Lyro got the numbers back.
Another thing that's
something was said. Why wouldn't you watch that? Like, I have to watch that every week.
Because I watch the episode at work.
You're not a bad podcaster, Phil. You're a bad fan. You have to.
I watch it at work so Alexa doesn't have to stay up till like 1 in the morning. And then especially with this week, it ending at 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And I had to drive home. So I was like, I'm just going to get a quick jump. Like, this way my boss isn't like, why are you still here? Do you want to do more work for me at like 7:05? So dipped out.
The only thing worse than watching that episode as is would be watching that episode at midnight.
Yeah.
So another thing. I don't know what the Phil is a terrible fan. I don't know what the statistics are on this because
I agree. Whoever
I'm not that smart. Yeah, Christopher Dawson. Phil is a bad Dawson. Fan.
Very good, Chris. Thank you very much.
When was the last time that the merge boot went down? Phil's a casual. Phil's a filthy casual fan. When was the last time that the merge boot was decided by the two most recently swapped tribes? I feel like that it never happens that way. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting, but
that's a hard one. I have to actually go watch that.
Yeah, and I watch spoiler, the show, I'm not doing it. Well, you're a casual. You wouldn't do that.
I'm a casual. I like filthy casual, but P-H-I-L-T-H-Y.
Nice.
Yes, the filthy casual. All right, my Brett, who's your number 8? Let's hear that, since we know you got Lauren down at the bottom. Who's your number 8?
Number 8 is Aaron. I feel like he is not long for this world. I think that as we get down in the numbers, as you get to like 8 people, I think that people are going to see that Aaron is completely playing hard, and that we're all seeing. I think he is anyway. And I think they're going to see that, and they're going to get nervous with him. And I think he's a goner. I think he's a goner very soon, but I'm putting him at 8.
Yeah, I have him at number 8 as well. One, because of what
Alexa. Plus, I don't think that helped him last week.
No, absolutely not. That definitely hurt his winning chances, that's for sure, because Kelly's sitting over there and she's never going to vote for him, and right. Janet's never going to vote for him. But I don't think he's ever going to lose. Like, he could never lose a challenge early on if it's all this endurance stuff. So that's why I put him at 8 and not 9, 10, or 11. So I have him at number 8. And then I just think, like, him and Tommy, that scene, with how bad Aaron looked last week, right? Like, no doubt about it, Aaron looked terrible at Tribal Council. But we've seen so much real emotion, positivity from Aaron throughout this season. And a lot of it was based around his and Tommy's relationship. That nothing's come of that yet. Like, literally nothing has come of that at all.
Yeah.
Something's got to happen.
You know, and I feel bad for putting him here because I actually really like Aaron, and, and I think he's playing. I think that a lot of people go out there think that they have to play hard and you have to reel it in a little bit. But if anyone sees Randy Bailey's tweet about killing him, Aaron doubled down on it.
Oh, Aaron got the $5.
I mean, that's funny.
And that was funny.
I think Aaron's, you know, I think we're seeing a very serious side of him, but I think he has a really good sense of humor. So I'd like to see him go further. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like you, like Alexa said, he could do a run. And I think that if he drops one of these challenges, they're going to say, this could be our only shot to get rid of him. If, you know, if he wins two more challenges and then drops the third one, they're going to be like, we gotta do this guy now. You know, that he's got a huge target on his back. So
absolutely. I mean, he just won the first two easily. Easily. I mean, that last one, everybody was dropping out so fast, and Jamal was Jamal is shaking so bad. And Aaron's just standing there. And yeah, he was grunting and he looked like he was in pain, but there's no way he was gonna lose that challenge.
Right.
There's no way.
Right.
I don't know. So yeah, I agree with you. I don't like how much I've agreed with you tonight, Brett. You know, we got the same. We got Nora and Karishma one spot off, Janet number one, Tommy off one spot off, Dean at the same spot, Aaron at the same. I don't like this.
Well, yeah, because everyone's going to hate you too after this.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. Yeah. This is what happens when you side with the wrong people.
It was going to come out smelling like body odor.
Yeah. Right. Who's your number 8, Alexa?
My number 8 is Karishma. I think she's long for the game, but just when I look at this directly next week, how many votes has she received? She was the decoy vote, you know? So at the end of the day, there's just votes that keep getting thrown her way. And when that happens, your chance of going home obviously gets higher. I know, like, she's clearly not bothering anybody. I think people aren't seeing her as a threat, but they're using her as like the idle vote. So I got to put her low.
But I agree with you on that. But I think what happens is when you go, like, as we get down the numbers here and as we go further, I think what people say is people go, let's vote Karishma. And they go, no, that's an easy vote. Let's not vote Karishma. Let's wait a couple. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody expects her to get to the end. They just don't. So I agree with you 100%. I think that's totally a possibility. But I think that we have a lot of smart people out there that are going to see that that's probably not the best way to go.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, I said that about Allison a lot in David versus Goliath. And what did she do? Sixth place? She turned out fine. They were flinging votes at her every week.
Dr. Allison,
yeah.
I was just with her. She's a wonderful person. I was down in North Carolina.
I was always a big fan of hers.
At the Johnny Fairplay podcast. I'm just a podcast.
Johnny Fairplay is
who
awful,
are you? Right? You're all over.
I have my own podcast, In the Drunk Tank with Brett and Larry. Give it a look on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. It's hilarious.
But she's really cool. Really cool person. Yeah. She looked at my sciatica. She gave me some
there you go.
Tips. Yeah. So she's great doctor. She's my yeah, she's my primary now. She's my primary.
She looked at your back one time and she's your primary. Primary. Oh, yeah. Your blood pressure is fine then. Yeah.
That's a good word, sciatica. I know.
Amazing.
All right.
What did you think about Johnny Fairplay, though?
Oh, Johnny's the best. Because you have to meet Johnny two times. The first time, you're probably freaked out by him. The second time, he's a great guy. I love Johnny Fairplay. I can't say enough about him. Matt Bischoff is the best, too. Two good guys. And, you know, I mean, how do you not love Johnny Fairplay? Said his grandmother died to get further in the game. It's just, I remember watching it live, just dying laughing. Thought it was hysterical. So I love Johnny Fairplay. I had a great time at the podcast. And I'm having a good time on this podcast, too. I'm a podcast fiend.
Unfortunately, we don't have this in a bar where, like, we're all doing like a watch party. Unfortunately,
living rooms
and bedrooms. I think Alexa's on a bed.
I'm on my bed. Yep.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we, as everybody can tell, we just hate.
Alexa, where are you right now?
I'm in New York. I live in New York.
Well, I was gonna say, it looks like a Jordan's bed with the big back.
No, it's I forget where I got this thing. No, this bed is not big, and neither is anything that I own.
Okay.
What one thing that I think. With Karishma.
I'm going to be a Patriots fan in New York. I'll tell you that.
You know what? It's not that bad. We travel well here.
Oh, really? So,
but there's like five. I used to work at a Patriots bar, so I would just like hide out there and everyone was.
Are you in New York City?
I am. Yeah, I live here, but obviously from Boston.
It's so much fun. Yeah.
Come on over.
Yeah. Yeah. I will. Next, Rob's next thing, I'll be there. Actually, I might be there for Johnny's doing a live show on the
floor. Sorry. Yeah. I was talking about that. Let's talk.
Yeah.
We might have just announced something.
Okay, sounds good.
This podcast brought to you by Survivor NSFW and RHAP. Go become patrons of them.
Listen, you guys got just as many followers as them, so just relax. All right?
Not as many as Rob, but we got more than Johnny, and don't let him tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
I sold his soul to the devil to get that many fans. You know,
well, you know what? And good
Alexa,
for him.
Alexa, start selling. I have no soul to sell. We need you.
Yeah, Phil's a soulless ginger.
I can't do it.
I'm a soulless Patriots fan.
Alexa, you know what I'm talking about.
This is terrible. I want to say one thing about Karishma. If your date has been set, everybody, Brett, Alexa, date set, good. Moving on, Karishma. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. But Karishma, what's interesting about her being everybody's plan B is she has never moved into the role of plan A.
Yeah.
So it feels like everybody's always okay. Oh, if somebody plays an idol, let's get rid of Karishma. But we never actually want Karishma to go home. And so I never think that she's going to be a plan A until like final five, maybe final six, or like we just desperately need to get rid of Karishma because there's nobody else. And that's why I think, like, despite the fact that she's always a plan B, I still think her social game is okay because she's doing enough to not put herself as the number one. And so far, none of the people who have gotten more votes than her have played Idol. So she's just chilling. She might set the record for most votes in a season, mm-hmm. but she's hanging out
right now.
She's got to be at like 16 or 17. She might even be more than that. She might be more than that.
Oh, man. My Googles are weird. Keep going.
Okay, so my number nine is Elizabeth. Definitely not the best look for Elizabeth last week. But what's interesting with Elizabeth is I don't think she's as threatening as somebody like Missy. And so that's where it's tough for Missy to overcome kind of like Janet's. I think Janet's going to go on the warpath this week. Mm. And if that's the case, I think that Elizabeth just has a really hard time overcoming that. Missy does. Because Missy's, as Alexa said earlier, she's playing it kind of like so stone cold. And Elizabeth's just not playing that way. And so I think Elizabeth might be able to work her way back into the group, explain herself a little bit better, just make better relationships. Whereas Missy's kind of playing this like distant cold game, which I think if Missy were to play a second time, I think Missy would play so much better. And I think Missy would potentially win. I think she could pull like a Sarah Lucina, but as the winner of your season, Brett Adams said, he said, like, if you don't want to be friends with these people, you're never going to win. If you go out and play Survivor and say, I'm not going to be friends with anybody, I'm not here to make friends, nobody's going to vote for you at the end because nobody wants to be friends with you.
Oh, and absolutely. I agree with Adam.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem that, not that I'm saying that people don't like Missy, I just think Missy could be running into that problem because I don't think she's opening up necessarily as much as some of the other players. She's done a great job with Aaron and she's done a great job with Elizabeth, but I don't think everybody else has felt that warmth that Missy can bring.
I think what we're seeing from Missy is what we see from a lot of younger players. They listen to your podcast, they look online and they say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be the meanest, baddest survivor that ever played. I'm going to cutthroat everyone. You can't do it. You can't do it because human beings aren't going to put up with it. And that's why Missy, for me, is number 10. I think she's gone.
That's my number 10 too.
Yeah. And I really think that she's shown her true colors. She's good at challenges. We know that. And I think that she is on everyone's radar that she's playing. And she said some stuff that's pretty cold to people. And trust me, that hasn't been forgotten either. And it's been told to everyone. By the way, everyone knows everything that's going on out there. Lest anyone think that people don't realize what was said at other tribals after the merge, you're completely insane. If you believe that people are still going to the Island of the Idols after the merge and don't know that they're going to see Rob and Sandra, I love that last week when Jamal looked so surprised. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. He knew he was meeting them. If you believe that that has been kept a secret, you're completely insane. Everyone on the island now knows if they go to Island of the Idols, they're meeting Rob and Sandra. I guarantee that. Guarantee it.
I love that take.
That's the first time someone said that.
Yeah.
I love it because and half the time people don't even know who they are. In the first half of this season.
Oh, Nora.
It's you. Let me tell you something right now. If I go out there and I see Boston, Rob, and Sandra, two of the most I think you two are huge fans. I think if you walked onto that beach and those two come out of the woods, there's no way you're gonna say, oh my God, it's you. You're going to lose your shit. Boston, yeah. You know exactly who they are. You've seen them 100 times. To me, when they say, if they don't say their names right away, they don't know who they are. Yeah. And I'm doubling down on that. I'm saying that there's a lot of those people went out there, didn't know who they were, which makes me think who are they casting?
I think I would have had a similar reaction to Jamal.
I think everyone knew except for Nora and Elizabeth.
Elizabeth had no idea. Yeah.
You could see it in their face. You could see
Like, how great would it have been if Chelsea went? Like, that would have been just, like, really cool to see that because she's, like,
And Janet definitely knew who they were, too, for sure.
Oh, Janet. Yeah, I forgot Janet.
Jamal knew he was meeting them. Yeah. I think everyone's, it's been, you know, there's not much to talk about out there. That's something that people let slip, you know?
Yeah. I like how Jamal turned and kind of walked away.
I would do, that's exactly how I would react if I was really shocked, because I don't think I would be like, oh my God, it's Rob and Sandra. I think I would just have that reaction of like, what is going on? And like, you just do like the walk around. Same way, like I would react if like, you know, Brett were to walk into a bar that I'm in. I'd be like, what the heck? And like, just kind of, you know who it is, but you do the walk.
It's also first time playing. And yeah. So they're going along with the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going along with the CBS game. So
yeah. Well, Brett and I both have Missy at 10, which leaves obviously Dan as my 11. Brett, is Lauren your 11 and Dan is your 9? Is that what you're saying?
Dan is my 9. That's correct. Okay. Yeah. And Lauren's my 11. Very good, Phil. You're paying attention. I like that. Good morning.
Someone's got to do it.
Right. Someone's got to do it, right?
It's early. It's what? 9-18 for you.
I think Dan's too easy of a vote for next week. So I don't think we're going to see that. But I don't think his life – I think, listen, it's pretty much been put in everyone's mind that he can't win. It's been there. And here's the thing with Dan. And I think that – you know, listen, Kelly, I'm not taking it. I believe that she's been very upfront with how she felt. Her feelings are real. I totally agree with that. I think we all have to be a little easy on Dan because we're not, again, folks, it's an edit. They can make you into anything they want out there. I want to double down on that. They can make you into anything they want out there. If they want to make me into a monster, trust me, I said enough things in the 24-hour period. They could have made me into a monster. So let's go easy on Dan. And we don't know the true story that really happened out there. And I'm not saying that people didn't feel a certain way. I'm sure Hannah had feelings about me that changed later on. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't believe or I don't know. I don't know if he's the monster that they're making him out to be. Let's wait and see when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
You start hearing people being interviewed, you know.
It's the same way as like what we said earlier. It's weird that we're doing this now because we're in the middle of the story.
We're still in the middle of it.
We're in the middle of the story. And Dan can go one of two ways here where for the rest of the season, there could be nothing. The rest of the season, there could be nothing. And it was Dan and Kelly. And Kelly, I'm not saying that Kelly didn't feel these things, obviously. And I'm not saying that these things didn't happen. And you know, that's going to be something that I think is going to be a big issue after the game. And I think Dan and Kelly, once they can openly speak about it and all that, I'm curious to see what's actually going to happen in real life and in the real world and the real world like ramifications. But talking about this in the middle, we don't know if next week – this is like for the next 8 episodes, this never comes up again and there's nothing. Or if Dan doubles down, like Brett just did, if Dan doubles down and it continues to be a problem, we're talking about this in the middle and we can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen. So it makes it really tough. Especially since he hasn't been pulled from the game yet or like, you know, like with how they're talking about it.
Well, Phil, there's an ending. Now here we come again. So, if he what yeah. I want listen, they would have pulled if it was, and I'm not again, we don't know until this is all over, but I feel like if they didn't pull him from the game and he was as bad as we see, then it should be on Survivor and CBS because you cannot put women out there if you got a predator out there, and I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying what we're being shown, like, to me, that should never have gotten to where it got to, period. Yeah. I get it that it's reality TV, but if people are feeling weird and creepy, it should be shut down, period.
It's being filmed 24/7. It's Absolutely. Not, it wasn't already known. They've been seeing it.
Yeah. Right, come on. So maybe it was production's fault. I don't know. I'm just saying, let's wait and see when these people are all interviewed after what went down.
Absolutely.
Do I think that Kelly didn't have these feelings? I'm sure she did. I'm sure she did. She stated them several times. She didn't feel, she felt weird about this man touching her. She stated it to him. So all these feelings are real. Why wasn't it shut down? What really happened? We need to know, later
Absolutely.
On. That's all. That's all I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I want to also say to Kelly, because I was really, really, really rooting for her.
We all were.
Why the hell would you go home with two idols in your pocket. What is with these people nowadays, these young kids? They come out here and they say, oh, I got two idols. I want to save them. Now, listen, they're going to put another one out there. You're going to use this. It's going to go out there. You have a chance to get it back. Nobody knows you have the second idol. Mm-hmm. Why is everyone so scared to use them? Use them. Get through. You can't tell me she didn't have an inkling that her name might be brought up.
I think that's true. I mean, I would have probably played it, but we have so much more information as the viewer to be like, oh, of course. But she had a pretty easy time finding that second one. Let's be real. I mean,
somebody was so good at convincing her that she wasn't going home that they deserve an Academy Award.
Well, and I think what ended up happening was because of the situation and because of what they were all talking about, I think she felt a bond on a different level than just gameplay. And so when that was pulled out from under her, that's why she was like, why don't we play these idols? Because the girls would never lie to me about something so serious.
With everything going on.
I watched her Ponderosa and they're both very wholesome Ponderosas. Like the thing does not even come up, which is fantastic. She said she's walking out and she was just like, oh my God, I went home with two idols. And she says, if I could have done it again, I only asked people in my alliance if I was okay. I should have asked people not in my alliance and gauge their reactions.
Because that's the key right there.
And your alliance people are going to be like, of course you're fine.
Everyone's scared to go to other people. You have to go to the other side because people give cues. People give ticks when they're lying. And that's why when you go and you talk to, you know, for me, when I was talking to certain people, you get a feel, okay, I'm in trouble tonight. Or, I might be, but I feel after talking with them about it. You need to go talk to the other side because some people are horrible at lying. And they'll just keep talking. And that's when you know that they're telling you a lie. Mm-hmm.
The end of your season, Brett. The end of your season, that whole idol situation.
I know.
Poor Brett.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it either. It's not my favorite.
It's like the Croatian coins that you brought up, Phil. I feel like you're attacking me personally, Phil.
You got to do a little poke. A little poke.
I'm poking the bear here. Well, what's going on, huh?
Don't forget. I mean, I might be in Boston right now, but I'll be in L.A. shortly.
I know. I'm telling you. We're getting in that fight. I got my like Irish stance ready. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
It'll be the first time I punched a ginger. Yeah.
It'd be the first time you knock one unconscious, baby, right?
That's the sound bite.
I'm just teasing. There's no violence here. I'm just teasing.
No violence here. Cut to a month from now. There's blood everywhere.
If anything, it'll be you and me arguing over beers.
That's
sounds
it.
Great.
Yeah.
Over golden monkeys.
That's right.
Love golden monkeys.
Alexa, you gotta.
Are they having an after party at the same bar?
It's always the same one in the fall.
It's the same one, right? Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because you weren't here in the spring.
I wasn't. I bailed out of one of them.
It's like Brett doesn't care about me. It's terrible.
Yeah. Right.
The fall one's easier because it's like around the holidays, so a lot of people have it off work.
That I know. This is going to be a quick trip for me, but I have to come out. So
yeah. Coming out.
That's good. It only needs to be a quick trip. I just need to see you the one time, Brett. That's all.
That's right.
Alexa, kill your power rankings. Brett and I are just done.
Yeah, Chivalry isn't dead.
We're just done.
Yeah, Alexa, let's see what you have.
All right, so I have this. She smells like... I've never been to heaven. I hope someday to go. She smells like heaven. I have Janet at number 10. Has nothing to do with where she smells. I have her at number 9.
I was going
to
say, where wasn't I?
It's like Karishma. Like she is on the outs right now. What helps her is that, I mean, this in her tribal council, everyone clearly loves her. When she was freaking out, they said, no, we like you. They were separating everything. Mm. I think they're going to eat themselves before they eat her and they'll probably use her. But just where we are at this exact moment, Janet doesn't really have allies she doesn't have the numbers. So I have Janet low. I have Dan at number 10. I'm going to try to keep this just a strategy. We saw a little bit of this in Edge of Extinction and we're starting to see this here and there, but people will also vote out the person who everyone wants to drag to the final three because they will take up a spot. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then I have Elizabeth at number 11 because I think we talked about how Karishma has always been number 2 target, never number 1 target. Elizabeth, I think, is number 2 target to the Missy, to the Aaron, to that group. And I think it might be her time.
Disagree heavily with us.
Jake, and you might not be far off with that.
I'm glad that all of ours are very different though, or somewhat. Oh, and Janet's my eliminator because I think Janet's gonna be safe.
The queen. Janet had five confessionals coming into, or she had like, oh, maybe she had more than that.
Yeah, I noticed that too, Phil. She had a lot of, she's getting a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't much. And then, like, it was, you know, she had it and then it went away and then she had it and then it went away.
It's pretty significant right now. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anybody who had Janet for over 10 confessionals in an episode for a prop bet.
Janet is not, I believe Janet's going very far because of the edit that she's getting. Unless it, again, it could just be because of everything that came down. But either way, I think she's looking really good.
Where's the confessional count? Somebody tell me. Because Survivor Sucks is not updated. I don't know why I still go to Survivor Sucks, but
I have literally never been on that.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We got Janet. Oh, Janet only had 7 last week. It seems like she had so much more than that. Holy crap.
Well, she had long ones, though.
Yeah,
long
that's ones, true.
And they were like meaty. There was a lot to them.
Yeah. And she had a lot of scenes. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's mm-hmm. true. Oh, okay. Okay. I was wrong. I'm looking it up now. All right. All right. Well. Anyway, Alexa, you took Janet as your eliminator. Do we have anything else? Do we have anything else that we need to talk about? Brett, do you want to like defend yourself for like the Croatian coin still or no?
No, that was we were an hour ahead of everyone. It's just it really I have nightmares. I hope
haven't slept.
I hope I'll tell you, Amazing Race, a great show. I hope it sticks around, and I hope that me and the Ginger Giant get another shot at it. So
the Ginger Giant,
I love it.
I love that.
Yeah, but no, it was a lot of fun. Again, it's good to see you guys. Phil, I see you often at the finale show bar afterwards. So it's good to see you again. And Alexa, really cool.
Yeah, we will.
Another Patriots fan on the Sunday. Yeah.
We'll allegedly possibly hang out in New York soon, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
Totally down for that.
We'll talk offline.
Alexa, stop!
Shut up!
I can't believe that keeps happening. She's been going off.
I have two in my apartment. It's the worst. It's awful.
This is what happened. I don't have money to buy an Alexa, so.
Yeah.
Just saying. It's not bad. Not bad life.
Not a bad life
not having an Alexa. I have my own Alexa. I don't need one. I just text Alexa.
Yeah.
Alexa, find me this. And she does it. She responds always in a second. Yeah. That's how you know if Alexa likes you or not. If she doesn't answer in a second, she doesn't like you.
I'm a quick texter.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I hope this – see. Listen, we got some people playing really good here, and I hope that we get to see more of it. You know, right now I feel like I'm Daryl in The Walking Dead in the cell listening to Easy Street. Because I just can't, I don't want any more lessons. I just want, don't teach me anything else, Survivor. Just teach me gameplay. Let me see these people play, and let's move on from that. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's all.
There you go. Well, Alexa, you want to take us home, and we'll be back on Wednesday.
All right. Yes. Back on Wednesday, at our normal time, Phil, that's me asking you right now.
That's right. Yeah. After the show, right? You guys go on right after.
Yeah. So we'll be live this Wednesday. It's a 1-hour show, but a double elimination. So we're losing people fast.
I didn't realize that. Wow. Way to not tell me that off the top, you cheater.
You guys didn't know that?
Phil, how do you not know this is?
He's a filthy casual.
Watch the stupid what's coming.
He's a casual.
How do you not know it's a double elimination? This is
Okay. So what's cheating here is
you need to get a new.
Yeah, Brett, do you want to come on? You got a nice setup there.
Yes, because at least I watch the damn show. You know what I'm saying?
I give up. All right.
So next week, Brett and I will be back on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time for our episode 8. Yeah. 9:30 Eastern time for our episode 8 double elimination episode. In the meantime, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Listen to us on Spotify. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. And make sure to watch the Patriots stomp the Eagles this Sunday.
And I'm
at 4:00 p.m.
Golden Monkey at some point this week.
Pour a Golden Monkey.
That's right.
Have a great night or day. When
it's 9:30 in the morning. Let's chill with that. All right. It's not Monday yet.
Later. I'm hitting
it. 12:30 here on